Welcome to the pod.
I sob it with the forced humor.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm glad that you brought up an apology because I'm starting the pod straight up with an apology.
What do you have to apologize for?
I made some mistakes. I made some mistakes and...
You're supposed to be the smart one on this podcast.
I know, and I have to come forward and I have to apologize. I gave a letter of resignation to Marissa. She did not accept it.
I didn't accept it.
But I was going to quit the pod because of this mistake, but she...
I said, no, the wine world really needs you,
yeah,
Adam.
Yeah, she gracefully and just very, very...
I'm a very graceful person.
Empathetically allowed me to stay, so thank you, Marissa.
You're welcome.
No, fuck all that. No, I said dosage instead of tirage, and I make word mistakes sometimes, and that's like... I feel like a common one, and I just want to, if you're listening to this podcast in order, so you went from 19 and now you're on episode 20,
woo.
Yeah, welcome to the future, first of all. Second, I was saying dosage in the last, I meant tirage, and I'll explain very quickly the difference. Tirage is a slurry, I guess, or a mixture of yeast, sugar, and wine, and they add that for the secondary fermentation in a bottle of champagne or sparkling wine. And dosage is after all of that's been eaten, they add to the wine before they're going to release it to change the sweetness level. So when you're like sec, demi-sec, that kind of thing, or zero dosage, which would mean no added dosage. So I made an error and I apologize.
Yeah. And I think that good job, Adam, for apologizing. I think it's a good point to remind people that, you know, we're just people, even though we're like quote unquote wine professionals, according to a few people.
Yeah. Very few.
But you know, it's really hard to remember everything about wine all the time.
Yeah, and we freeform. Like, that's another thing. Like, this podcast, it's not like Marissa and I have, like, a staff of people who are helping us, and
yeah.
B, like, we get together, we take about an hour, maybe 45 minutes to set up, and then
just
go. It's not like we have a script or anything.
Yeah.
We have notes in front of us, but they're not really, like, detailed.
They're handwritten, and they're just as detailed as I make them. Sometimes I make them very detailed.
Yeah, it depends on the topic. And that was just me just fucking, just said dosage and then just went. Sometimes I call my son our dog's name and I'll call him our dog's name for like an entire day.
Sometimes I say my dad when I mean my husband. Like,
yeah,
you know,
and
it
doesn't
happens.
Mean that I think that my son's name is my dog's
and
name.
And I definitely don't want to be married to my dad.
Yeah, so anyway, it happens and I'm not mad at people pointing out our mistakes because it allows us to correct
it. Yeah, I think it's important. Please, 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 like if we fuck up on something technical, by all means, please let us know because, you know, we're doing our best. But like I said, it's, you know, this is why I don't believe in the term like wine expert, you know, because it's so like there's so much information out there and it's hard. You know, the mind is like a bathtub memory, you know, and it's like every bit of information you put in there, you know, you got to pull out the stopper to let a little bit out. And sometimes, you know, the stuff that gets let out, you kind of need kind of like in that Rick and Morty where he like gives up his where Rick gives up his like he's like gives up his improving skills. Like, I forget what episode it is, but he like gives up his improving skills for something else. And then like later in the episode, he's like, why did I give up my improving skills? Anyways, I suck at improv.
Anyway, yeah. So speaking of second chances or second lives or being reborn, we weren't talking about that, were we?
No, but I mean, it's work and go.
Okay. We are drinking Southold Farms.
Yeah, Southold Farm and Cellar. Their foregone conclusion.
And it's an Alicante Bouchette.
And it is 10.64% alcohol by volume, which is perfect for a red wine at noon.
Yes. The reason why I was saying second chances is because they are formerly of Long Island.
Yep.
And now currently of Texas. I'm not 100% sure what part of Texas.
Texas High Plains. The Lechtman Family Vineyard.
I've only been relayed this story through word of mouth. I've never read it or talked to them about it. But from what I heard is they were in Long Island and they were making wines in a way that was sort of controversial to the people of Long Island and did not feel welcome. So they left.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they got from what I remember, I did read the article, but it was a couple years ago because I had their, I had one of their Cabernet, I'm pretty sure it was a Cabernet Franc a couple years ago now. I guess it was like fall 2016, which is when they it was a wine called I Don't Want to Be Stereotyped, I believe.
Yeah, yeah, that
or
was delicious.
I Want to Be, yeah, it was I incredible. Want to be I Want to Be Stereotyped, yeah. And I was like, well, this is amazing. And then they're like, actually, we are having to move all of our shit to Texas because they basically, I think they even got like legislated out. You know what? This is a point in sense that we should probably do better outlines. But anyways.
Our research. Yeah, no, that wine was great. That wine was all fermented outside under tents.
Yeah. So this I just got their new wines from Texas in that they full disclosure, they shipped me some samples. I said, yes, please. I would of course love some samples. I've been really looking forward to trying the wines.
Yeah, it's been a couple years. They've been MIA.
Yeah, because they had to move to they moved to Texas and started their second life as winemakers.
I guess that saying of there's only steers and queers in Texas is no longer true.
Wow, I never heard that before.
You never heard that?
No.
I think it was in Full Metal Jacket.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, anyways, this Alicante Bouchette. It's pretty damn juicy and delicious.
Yeah, Alicante Bouchette is a cool grape. It's a cross that was very popular. A cross is when they breed two different grapes, and then they created this grape.
Yeah,
kind of.
But
like,
but from the same
Vitis vinifera.
Yeah,
not a hybrid.
Not a hybrid.
It's like where like a wolf and a canine is a hybrid, a poodle and a Labrador is a Labradoodle, not a hybrid. It's a cross.
Okay, I'll take it.
So this is like a Labradoodle.
Okay.
It is so. I think it's like 90% of grapes, maybe even more, 95% of grapes. The color only comes from the skin of the grapes, not from the flesh of the grapes. The flesh of the grapes, red wine, gray grapes, green grapes, whatever, white grapes, their flesh is still clear. It's the color comes from skin contact and comes from the grapes. Alicante Bouchette, I'm blanking on the name of this type of grape, is a dark red skin. So it's a very dark grape. It produces very dark juices.
Yeah, and I mean this one is pretty damn dark. It's like kind of the color of Robitussin.
Yeah,
but Robitussin in the night though.
Which I feel like I need right now is some Robitussin. So it's working perfectly. Yeah,
It doesn't taste like Robitussin. It tastes for me this is a really fun like day red. You know, like
yeah.
I want to just have it in the fridge, have it chilled.
Good with charcuterie.
Charcuterie. Yes, we probably should. Probably have had some of that if only I'd planned. But it's really good. So we're going to be imbibing this throughout the pod. Today's podcast.
I was going to say, can I just say a cool story about Alicante Bouchette?
Yes, absolutely.
So cool story about Alicante Bouchette. It used to be pretty widely planted. I think it was like the third or fourth most widely planted grape in California. And the reason being is it was... so you know like when you buy cocaine and you're talking about how stepped on it is?
No.
So there's pure cocaine, which would be like 100%, and then like there's great where like the more stepped on it is or the more cut it is with like baby laxative baking powder. You've seen it in movies.
I've never heard the term stepped on, but
yeah, well
yeah.
Cut.
Yeah.
And that's to like stretch it out. So like the distributor gets like a brick and then they
Yeah, they basically like put other shit in it to make it to sell more cocaine.
Right. So bootleggers were doing this with alcohol, right? They were adding water to stretch things out.
Mm.
And because Alicante Bouchette made such a dark, dark wine, it was easier to cut. They could add more water to it and it would still give off the perception of like this dark wine. So it was very popular for bootleggers.
Nice.
And after Prohibition.
And for cocaine users.
Possibly. I mean, there was probably a lot of cocaine didn't become illegal until like the 20s or 30s. So it was probably pretty popular during Prohibition.
I feel like the 70s would disagree with that.
No, it wasn't legal. I'm saying it was legal until like the 20s or 30s.
Yeah.
But anyway, cocaine and Alicante Bouchette. I'm just saying.
I think it's a great combo. You know, just like you could drink this shit all fucking night while you're doing all the fucking cocaine.
Anyway.
Not that I'm promoting
drugs
or alcohol.
At least maybe if you can find like natty stuff that's not stepped on, but I think it's always made.
Oh my God. No, dude. Just like, just don't do cocaine. Like, how about like, I mean, have I done cocaine? Yes. Would I do it again? Probably. But, you know.
I don't, okay. Anyway. Anyways. We're here to talk about fads.
Yeah, so today's podcast is a little bit more of an op-ed, a little freewheeling.
Yeah, free forum. This is.
It's been a gnarly
doing
week.
A slam poetry session, actually.
Yeah. Well, it's been a gnarly week in America. We don't need to go into that, but you know, not a lot of. So we just decided to have like a fun, not a fun, but we decided to have like a freewheeling kind of op-ed.
There's also been a couple of articles. I'm not going to mention the
we don't
the
need places, to mention.
But there's been a handful of things that have been coming out that have been like.
So let's just get, we can cut to the chase. Because if you say what the
I'm just saying, welcome to natural wine. Have you discovered natural wine? The new trend of natural wine.
Yeah, there's a lot. And I don't really have a problem. I mean, there's a lot of, there's now suddenly like a lot of like beginner's guide to natural wine, which is fine, whatever. My problem is that I saw an article today about how natural wine is like the new hype beast culture, which is basically like sneaker culture.
Right, which, yeah. Well, hype beast culture is a culture of, it started really in like the, I think the early, like maybe 2003, 2004, 2005. Where
yeah.
It was, it sort of stemmed off of skateboard culture.
Totally. I mean, I used to have like literally 20 pairs of Nikes that I definitely sometimes waited in line for.
Yeah, like SBs, the Nike yep. SBs.
And I was like, very into the Blazers.
The Blazers, that they were a big part of it. So it was a culture that sort of, it came from, I think, the sort of the onset of the internet where like you could sort of, humble brag the purchases that you were getting and also the exclusivity of things, but it was also this sort of idea of exclusivity.
Yes, which I mean, we definitely have capitalized on our t-shirts in the past, but anyways, the point is, I'm just letting people know that we know that. Anyways, the point of our pod today, after
we're not fucking Nike.
This is
we
true.
We can't afford to make 50,000
okay,
shirts.
All right, yes, this is true. But the point of the pod today is that, you know, natural wine is not a trend, and we want to just kind of talk about that as a broad idea.
Yeah,
that like
calling it a trend is sort of dismissive to everything that has come before.
Yes, calling natural wine a trend is extremely dismissive. Of course, yes, it's having a bigger moment in the media, but to say that it's a trend or it's new is just fucking wrong.
Yeah, I mean, all right, it cut me off if I'm being...
Well, I'll cut you off. Have you not read our reviews?
If I'm being offensive with this analogy, but I don't want to say it's like saying this, but like the Me Too movement isn't a trend. It's just finally being noticed and talked about.
Yes, I think that's fair. I mean, I think that Me Too is a little bit more...
It's way more serious and has way more gravity
yeah.
to it.
I don't know. I don't think anyone's going around being like, Me Too, the new hype beast.
No, of course not. But I'm saying that it's not...
I'm teasing.
It's not... I don't want to make light of something that's really serious. I'm just saying that it's... Like it's sort of disrespectful to the winemakers that have existed for generations who've made natural wines to then be like, oh, are you part of this new trend?
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, fuck you. Well, my family's been doing this for fucking 1,000 years or however long.
Well, and it's also disrespectful to all the people that have, you know, made it possible for it to even be having a moment right now in terms of like the media, you know, like even like in terms of like people that are around today that have been highly influential, you know, like it's disrespectful to like Alice Firing to call it a trend who's been like writing about it since like forever.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's like disrespectful to someone like Jenny Lefcourt, who like, you know, I just did a Q&A with her for an upcoming piece. And Jenny Lefcourt is the importer for Jenny and Francois. And she started importing, you know, like in the 90s and they just didn't have a word for
it. I mean,
it
Louis
then.
Dresner, fucking
Louis Dresner,
Kurt
yeah.
Lynch.
Like all these people are, you know, so it's really, so it's not a trend. And the first reason it's not a trend is because, well, this is actually how they always made wine. Like, if you think about the how wine originated, it was, quote, natural wine.
Right. We were living in the Industrial Revolution happened 250 years ago.
I don't know. You don't know. We don't know. The Industrial Revolution happened at some point.
It did happen at some point. Someone's be like, maybe I'm really wrong. But anyway, we're talking about like mass industrialization of the world in the last 200 years. And we're talking about in every facet of life, from clothing to food to wine to everything has been now mass produced and
even,
industrialized.
Even pets.
Yeah, even pets. Even
everything.
Pets. Everything.
Anything that you consume or buy is can be, you know, mass produced.
Yeah. And so, you know, that is a relatively new thing. It's that is not... Something I know for us in living in 2018 to think our entire lives have been industrialized. We've always had McDonald's. We've always had cars. We've always had all this stuff. But the reality of the situation is our great grandparents didn't live with any of that shit. And to them to be like wine, they would be like all like they wouldn't even understand the concept of industrial wine because it didn't exist.
Yeah. Well, but I also
all wine was
natural.
Yeah.
In some way. Well, not even. Well,
our great grandparents.
Yeah, but even there's like there was a time. I think in the 40s or 50s.
My grandparents were born in like the turn of like.
I guess you're right.
1890.
I was just gonna say though, like I mean, like talking about like cutting shit. You know, in Italy they were cutting. They were like taking like you know the bottom of the barrel and like adding like ox blood to it and water and like all sorts of shit.
I guess
there are
ways of cheating. Different and more gnarly.
Yeah, we're way more gnarly.
Yeah, it's like the stories of Rioja, like Tempranillo being shipped up to Burgundy or Bordeaux and shitty vintages to fill out those wines to make them better. But so yeah, I mean, I guess there have always been cheaters. There have always been like the people I was talking about in the Prohibition era who were like cutting their Alicante Bouchette with water,
or cocaine dealers today,
or cocaine dealers who are cutting it with baby laxatives or whatever it is that they do.
That sucks.
Yeah, if you little side note to any drug users out there.
Drug users?
I like was going to say dealers.
And users.
A friend of mine once did.
Use air quotes.
Once did 100% pure cocaine. Like legit, like straight off, like.
The line? Like that?
Yeah.
I guess not the line on the table, but the line of like in like Colombia.
It was. From what I was told from like one of the heads of MS-13.
Jesus.
My friend was hanging with a weird crowd.
Wow, this is okay. This is
anyway, didn't get the shits. It was in no way did it make any of that happen. And none of the people I was around, and we were like, wait a minute.
And I bet you that everyone was able to go to sleep on it too.
Absolutely.
Because it wasn't cut with fucking meth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, our great grandparents doing natural wine and cocaine.
Anyway.
Just like the winemakers today.
Cutting things with water. There was ways that, but I'm talking about when I'm having this conversation, I think I'm talking about the people who were true craftsmen in the wine, and they weren't necessarily capitalists. And so the people who were cutting with ox blood and doing all that stuff, all the cheaters, if you will, you know, fuck them. I don't think that like in the canon history that we should necessarily, you know, it's, we don't talk, we shouldn't refer to them. We should just refer to the artisans, to the real craftsmen, to the honest winemakers. And those people, always, for sure. Maybe they did a little bit of inoculation with yeasts that were growing. They would do a pied de cuve or something. But in as far as we know, like the wine has been natural for millennia, way longer.
Way longer than it's been conventional or commercial.
Correct. So to call it a trend is
infuriating.
Yeah. Could you imagine like when America became a democracy, the rest of the world was like this trend and they were like, the Greeks. No, I don't know if that, whatever. But anyway.
But it's also like, it's also, you know.
I was watching a YouTube video. I'm interrupting now. This is called a mansplain.
Okay.
No, it's not.
You're going to talk about are you going to talk about cartoon and junk food?
I was going to talk about a YouTuber that I was watching who was burping throughout the consistency of his YouTube video, and he's got like 10 million followers and like is one of the most popular YouTubers, and I was like,
is his name Rick Sanchez?
No, he's just some dude, and he was burping, and I was like, this is unreal, and
was
no
it
one
just
cared.
Burping?
No, he was talking about political stuff that I was weird, I didn't really agree with, but he was burping. It was just bizarre.
We're really freeballing today.
It's going to be great. People are going to love this.
Half the people are going to love this, and half the people are going to be like, boo, not cool. So anyways, what I was going to say, though.
Juggle monkey. Right? Isn't that what you yell?
I don't know.
Just do your tricks.
I think it's dance monkey dance.
That's it. Dance monkey. That's what it is.
I get that a lot, actually. It sucks. Yeah. Anyways, what I was going to say is that going back, it's also disrespectful. Like, so those of us that are really invested in natural wine, you know, it's not something that we're doing because it's cool and trendy. Like most people that are in, you know, that are in natural wine, the community, you know, have put their livelihood, their careers, their money, like all of these things on the line for a philosophy and way of life that they believe in. Like natural wine isn't just, you know, about getting the most allocated whatever the fuck from Zev Rovin or whatever, you know?
Yeah, or making the most fucked up or making orange pet nat possible.
Yeah, it's, you know, for a lot of us, I mean, I guess I can't speak for everyone, but, you know, a lot of us, this is what we believe is right. Like, this is something that is really, really important to promote. And, you know, I always say that the reason I'm very into natural wine, besides the way that I do love how it tastes, you know, it's better for the environment, it's better for the consumer, and it's better for small business. And those are things that I really care about. I make all of my other buying decisions, you know, and my life choices based around many of those things. You know, what's better for the world? Like, what's better for, you know, me as a human being, like what I'm putting in my body or, you know, whatever. And also, like, supporting the community around me. And it's not to have people, and everyone's been saying it's such a trend, and it's...
To dismiss you as just a hipster is so offensive. No, I'm serious. When people refer to anything as hipster, this is Adam saying to you right now, fuck you. It's so dismissive to say that you enjoy something and that makes you a hipster, and using it in a negative connotation, because that's the only way anyone ever uses hipster. No one's like, oh my God, I love them, they're such a hipster. No, everyone's like, that fucking hipster place, Silver Lake is so hipster, Brooklyn is so hipster. And it's, aside from, like, people who support small businesses and artisans and people who work hard, it's not hipster, it's just fucking ethical.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, it's a philosophy. It's a way of life. It's ethics. It's like, what do you believe in? Like, where do you want to put your money and your time and your energy? And you know, I love putting my I love putting my time, money, and energy into alcohol, wine particularly. I love wine. I fucking love it. So why would I not also, you know, hold it to a certain set of standards? And, you know,
I mean, it's our professions too.
It's our profession.
It's not even just like you and I are just enjoying wines as regular consumers.
And also too, you know, it's not like we, I mean, I know that this podcast has come about at the same time that this is coming to a trend, but both of us have been, you know, involved in natural wine for years now. And, you know, and like I said, then there's so many people that came before us that have been involved with natural wine for like the last three decades even. And, you know,
podcasting is a trend. Natural wine is not.
Yes, because podcasting will go. But
I don't
natural...
know if it's going to go away, but it's in a it's like peak form.
Oh,
right now.
Oh, come on! That's what people used to say about radio and television and movies.
That it would never go away.
Yeah, now all those things are going away.
I know. I was just listening to something about podcasting where it was talking about like the medium of like listening. So, like, people spend so much time in cars and traveling,
yes,
and
true.
Doing stuff, and it's become almost a thing that a lot of people consider a part of their daily life.
Me too.
And so, like, go away. Maybe dip, but go away.
Podcasting is having a moment.
Right.
But maybe, maybe natural wine and podcasting aren't so different. Maybe podcast is just, like, an evolution of radio.
Maybe there's people who are like, my great-grandfather was podcasting.
And making conventional wine. You know, I guess, I think, though, it's just, and this was inevitable. You know, this was going to happen. And but I just want to say that, like, you know, if natural wine, for example, becomes not cool, which it will eventually, something else will take the limelight. Most of us that have been involved with it are still
going
to be involved with it.
We're not going anywhere.
We're not going anywhere.
We're not going to jump ship and go drink conventional wine just because the pictures that we post on Instagram get 100 less likes because no one's into that shit anymore.
Yeah,
because
no one was into this shit before.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, they were, but you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. What I'm saying is that it's not, you're not doing it or I'm not doing this because we are following a trend. And I think, maybe there are people that are jumping on trends, like these people who
totally.
Write these articles, but I don't think a majority of the people, I've been to Brumaire, I've been to Raw, I'm around people, and I don't think...
You're in the community, bro.
I'm fucking in it. I'm deep. But what I'm saying is I don't see people who are, like, yeah, there's people who are like, what is this? I'm curious, I'm learning. But it's not, from my perspective and from the people I've met and the consumers that I've been around, it's more like, what is this thing that fits my philosophy that I was unaware of?
Or like, what is this thing that made me like wine when I didn't previously enjoy it? There's a lot of people that didn't enjoy wines for XYZ reasons, but now I've discovered natural wine and now they really like it. And like, that's not, I don't even consider that being trendy. I consider that being like a life changer. You know, like the first time I had natural wine, I did not know it was natural wine. I just thought that I was spending more than $15 on a bottle of, or like more than $10 on a bottle of wine. And, but it changed my life forever. And most of the people in the community, like I said before, they're, you know, I think that all of us, I mean, I don't publicly say this very often, but most of us have put our lives kind of on the line because we believe in these things. You know, like when I got my job at Bon Appetit, they didn't know that I only wrote about natural wines. And, you know, it was a big fight, you know, like it wasn't an easy thing. It wasn't,
what do you mean life? You mean livelihood, right? Not like physically.
I mean, my livelihood in terms of like our, you know, our money and our careers and our lives. Not that money is the first thing on that, but you
but
you know, if you're dedicating yourself to this very particular set of, you know, ethics and standards and philosophies, you know, there is a risk that comes with that. It's much easier. Like, it'd be very easy for us to have a podcast, for example, that's like sponsored by, you know, a huge winery, and we just
welcome to the Ravenswood talking about wood.
Yeah, you know, like it'd be easy for us to do that, and we choose not to. And I think that most people in the natural wine community have chosen a more difficult path, and that should be respected. And like, and maybe, but also too, like, maybe this is us just being like, man, like, don't call our lifestyle a trend. Like, meh.
Call our lifestyle a trend. That's fine. Call me a hipster. Call me a trend. Call me a flash in the pan. You could call me whatever the fuck you want. I'm talking about the people who've dedicated their lives truly to this movement or to this way of making wine. It's more offensive to them than it is to me.
Yeah, it's extremely offensive to the winemakers.
But
also like importers and distributors.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And, you know,
to
like,
the people who truly have been doing this since the 70s for decades, whose family have been doing it for multiple generations. Those are the people that I feel like, I mean, where you're calling them a trend. And then you see, and it's so unfortunate when you see this sometimes, these people who are making natural wine, have always made natural wine, and you meet them and you talk to them and they've been doing it for decades, and they feel somehow left behind sometimes because they're like, well, I've been doing it, but I'm not part of this thing that people are trying to associate with natural wine. They're like, you know, my labels aren't, you know,
hand-drawn,
sexist,
yeah,
or whatever.
I like, yes, sexist or hand-drawn. Sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes
maybe
both.
Both, yeah. Most of the time, actually, both. Usually the sexist ones are definitely hand-drawn.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, they're like, you know, I have wine labels that maybe look a little bit more on the conventional side to people, or but the wine I make isn't, and what's inside the bottle isn't. And like, I think what we're trying to say is, like, natural wine isn't a trend. It's not a label. It's not a Instagram.
It's not a style. It's not like,
it's not a taste. It's not a style. It's a philosophy.
It truly is. And like, you know, a lot of people, there's a lot of words that have become associated. And, you know, we did a previous episode about like whether or not words are important or not. But now there's certain words that are becoming so associated with natural wine that they're becoming kind of problematic. You know, obviously, I think by this point, everyone knows I have a real problem with the term orange.
Orange wine. I personally don't have a problem with, but I feel like petnat gets thrown around. We talked about it previously, but I think petnat gets thrown around as like a default to when I worked on the floor of a restaurant and we were all naturalists and people would be like, oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. You got any petnats? And
it's basically like people only associate natural wine, or there are some people, not all people. I need to stop talking in absolutes. Some people definitely associate, you know, the words like orange, petnat, or funky.
Yeah.
That those are synonymous with natural wines. And the truth is, like, you know, they're not. Like, not every wine that's orange or is, you know, quote-unquote, like, not even quote-unquote. It's like, not every wine that is orange or is sparkling with a crown cap is natural. Not every wine that smells like quote-unquote funky or tastes funky because it has a ton of Brettanomyces is necessarily natural. And not all natural wines are orange or are petnats or are funky. And honestly, if I wasn't so against writing articles that are like, hey, you're wrong about something you're doing, trust me that there would already be an article written about how people need to stop using the word fucking funky as like a synonymous thing with natural wines, because there are plenty of natural wines. We're drinking one right now.
It's
that
like my
is not fucking funky, like quote unquote. Like, it's not fucked up. Like, when people say funky, that they mean is that they're they don't have the word to describe certain flaws and characteristics, but the word funky is now becoming synonymous with like actual fucked up natural wines.
But beyond that, it's then when someone has a clean wine and they're expecting something, quote unquote funky, they're like, wait a minute, this isn't funky, this is clean. And you're like, yeah.
Like, oh, just because it's natural doesn't mean it's fucked up. Like,
I was gonna say it's like the height of the hip hop rap movement. Sort of really took steam in the 90s, and in the 90s was gangster rap, and gangster rap, you know, maybe that actually started, you know, NWA was a little bit more like late 80s, but that like went into the 90s and the whole West Coast rap movement and everything, and like gangster rap and Tupac and Biggie and this whole thing. And so I think, you talk rap or hip hop to an older generation and they synonymous with this idea of gangster rap, but rap is not in any way, in any world, gangster. Like that's just a certain genre within that musical platform, and having wines that are a little fucked up and off is just a genre within the natural wine platform, but not all of those things are that way. And it sucks that those are the things that are getting the attention in some ways, like how, you know, the 90s and gangster rap, because there's so much more out there and there's so much more to discover, and to pigeonhole something into one small idea, you're just limiting yourself.
Totally. And also too, you know, like a winemaker that, and I feel like we've discussed this before, but you know, depending on the vintage, you know, a wine that in 2016 was fucking slamming in 2017 might be super fucked up. Like you don't know. Like, and so it's been really wild, like watching this whole thing kind of unfold. And I can't imagine how like the people that like, you know, like Alice or like Jenny, you know, all these amazing people that have been working for years and years and years to see this kind of happening. And because it's wild to me.
Well, Tony Cottori. So I don't talk to Tony Cottori necessarily, but we will communicate occasionally through Instagram. And one thing that he was sort of talking about recently was his wines. He's been making wine for a very long time, and his wines were being reviewed by Robert Parker at one point in time. And they were acceptable to a degree to be enough to be reviewed by Robert Parker. Then Robert Parker stopped reviewing his wines, and Tony Cottori, not because of that, but because of what was happening in the wine world, went from somebody who was in the wine world kind of to completely push back. And then now this quote-unquote trend is happening, and he's making a resurgence, but he's always been there. And
hasn't always been making wines the exact same fucking
and
way.
And hasn't changed. And so to call him a trend, if you went up to Tony Cottori and you were like,
oh my God, I can't even imagine.
And being like, hey, nice trend. He'd be like, what the fuck? I've been doing this since before you were born. Like,
yeah.
This isn't a trend for him. Maybe the trend met him, but to refer to it as a trend is really dismissive of people that have been there for a really long time.
And to go back to what you were saying too about like, or what I guess we were talking about associating certain words, you know, with natural wine, and also like with, you know, hip hop and like, you know, how gangster rap became like extremely popular. I was talking with Lou Amdor, who owns Lou, last year.
Shout out, Lou. Love you,
Shout
Lou.
Shout out, Lou. Yeah. And, you know, he was like, Marissa, when people have their 100th, you know, quote-unquote funky VA Brettanomyces bomb of a wine, they then realize, you know, like your taste evolves, you know? And that's when people kind of realize, like, oh, you know, not every natural wine has to taste like this. Also, like, maybe this is also kind of boring. Like, wines that are, you know, that are, if you're just only drinking quote-unquote funky red wines, for example, or funky wines, that will get boring after a while.
I mean, if all you're listening to is G-Funk.
Yeah.
I love G-Funk, but...
Don't get me wrong. I listen to Dr. Dre's 2001 all the fucking time still.
But if all you listened to was 213... 2001 or Dr. Dre, Snoop, Warren G.
Yeah.
Like after a while, you'd be like, all right,
I need something new, you know, I need something different. So, you know,
it's just funky, but I need something less funky.
Well, and, you know, then I'm excited for that point because I actually like the word funky and I would like funky to mean something, you know, and I would like it to mean something positive because in my, like for me, like if someone's like, ooh, I heard like a good funk song, for example, you know,
I
like
love
like,
Bootsy Collins.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm excited for when funky become like is able to just actually be a descriptor that people can use without it being immediately associated with like a fucked up French red wine.
Like, or yeah, you know? It's like this dismissive. It's also this like it's also a way of saying you don't like something sometimes without saying you don't like it. Well, it's funky.
Yeah. And I mean, I want that to mean something. I as a writer, it's hard for me. You know, I want words to mean something, but at the same time, I guess there is no stopping, you know, there's no stopping the trend that's happening. Although I will say that I think that articles that are like straight up being like, yo, this trend natural wine, like the only reason that people are saying that natural wine is a trend is because of articles that are straight up like, this is a trend. Like, look at it. It's a trend. And then like other people hop on that and then they're like, yeah, natural wine is trendy. Like, I'm so over these funky wines. And like, it's like, dudes.
I feel like the the culinary scene has dealt with this a little bit with when it comes to sort of like cultural appropriation of stuff.
Yeah.
And like, so like, they'll be like, oh my God, this cool trend of, you know, dim sum or dumplings or, you know,
ramen.
Middle Eastern food is really trendy right now. And like, you talk to Israelis or you talk to Chinese people and they're like, well,
that's how I've always eaten.
Yeah.
That's what we've always done.
Yeah. And I guess that there's a positive, which is like exposing people to things that aren't normally exposed to stuff. And I'm all for that. Like, I'm all for people having new experiences and broadening their horizons and learning.
No, that's an extremely important. That's why we do our podcast.
But it's definitely, I can see how it's offensive for you know, for people. I see that, and it's unfortunate. And it's unfortunate that like our community and all communities in this day have to like go up to people kind of and be like, wait a minute, like, stop.
Yeah. But it's mostly like, I feel like it's like outsiders that are writing about it in that way, you know? And I mean, you brought this up before we started podcasting, but it's like, what's the difference between what I do and like, you know?
Yes. I jokingly, when we brought up this topic, I was like, well, Marissa, how are you going to defend yourself in some ways? Because you are the writer of a national magazine and you, like you said earlier, you came in and you're like, I'm writing about natural wine. This is happening.
I didn't even tell them. I just started doing it. And then they're like, wait, what?
Yeah. And and I feel like, you know, I'm not saying this is all your fault, but I'm saying that like you should have trouble sleeping at night because this is.
I thought I gave you your podcast job back earlier. No, it's, you know, it's interesting because when I sold my book in 2015 and then I was hired at Bon Appetit, you know, about 6 months later, they offered me a job. I did not apply for a job just because a lot of people are like, how the fuck did she get that job? It's like, well, they offered it to me. It wasn't like a thing I applied for on, you know,
you didn't
LinkedIn.
See it on like, yeah, Monster.
No, no. So, you know, someone, a distributor here said to me when that was all happening at first, like there was this crazy, you know, 8 months. And he goes, I want you to know that you are like the Rolling Stone reporter that puts my favorite band on the cover of a magazine. And then I can't afford tickets anymore. Like, fuck you. Like, that's what you do to like allocations. And I definitely took that. And I definitely think that there had, you know, I mean, it wouldn't be truthful for me to not see my own place in like how natural wine has become trendy. Like I did, you know, it is in a national magazine. I have focused on it. Like it is something that I've done, but at the same time, I'm not writing about I'm not writing about it as a trend. Like I've been writing about it just as wine. So I think that is like the difference, you know, like there's such a huge difference between trying to capitalize on natural wine in its moment right now versus, you know, genuinely trying to educate people. And even though I, you know, I'm a dipshit, like everyone fucking, you know, like, but I'm doing my best.
I've read the
like,
reviews on the podcast. I know. Yeah.
And, you know, but I'm doing my best to spread education and because I genuinely care about it. And like, you know, Bon Appetit could be like, hey, natural wine's out. And I'm going to be like, cool. Well, this is still what I do. Like, yeah. You know, like for me, this is, like I said, this is a lifestyle that people commit themselves to. And, I know that I've had a hand in this, but I think that I also hope to make, like, I hope that my part in that is to continue forth to make sure that it isn't a trend, that like to prove that this has longevity and it is a way of life and it is something that is more than that and means a lot to a lot of people, and to just, you know, have people experience those things, educate them, and hopefully they, you know, take as much of a passion in it as you and I and the rest of our community has. But you know, yeah, I'm a part of the problem for sure. I'm problematic, I'm sure. Like people I know.
Yeah,
I
there are people that could say that it's your fault.
Yeah, which is crazy to me. But I'm also like a hermit that lives in my house and doesn't really have like a scope of things. But that's, you know, it's but I.
But being acknowledging, I feel like there's an aspect, the fact that you're like aware means that it, there, you know, the awareness of you think, that means you think about things.
I try, man. Like, you know, I really try. And there's some things that I can't control. I think that people think that, you know, there's definitely been some things that have been published. I've been that I didn't want to necessarily publish, you know, like there's been, you know, like I'm not like everyone has to make like even if you're dedicating yourself to doing what you want to do and whatever.
Yeah, my nostalgic view of my anarchist 16-year-old self where it was like no compromises ever.
Yeah.
Is you know, as
well, it's like a give and a take because like for example, yeah. I don't compromise on the wines that I promote. I do not compromise on that. But I have to compromise in other ways. And that's something that, you know, comes with it. And I think that everyone in this community, if they're actually trying to, you know, survive, also has to make compromises. And I do think that it will be proven that natural wine is not a trend in the next 5 years because I don't think it's going away. Like I think that
no,
now,
I think it's strong enough personally. I think it's strong enough to alter conventional wine.
It already is, though. I mean, we did a podcast like fucking many, many podcasts ago about
the Trader Joe's. Yeah,
Shaw. You know, like
I think that it's a potential.
Well, no. Oh my God! And here's like a great example. All right, so I went to the Emmys, primetime Emmys, my lifelong dream.
Wait, did you go to the Emmys?
I did go to the Emmys. Went to the Emmys. I got invited by Trento Ferrari or Ferrari Trento. I don't know which it is. Huge. You know, they're the official sponsor.
Can I do a Rob Schraub impersonation?
Yes, please.
You went to the Emmys? Oh, my God.
Is this going to be another episode about this?
Another episode about you going to the Emmys? Ah!
That was a good one. I liked it. So I went as a guest to this large wine company, Ferrari. Not the car.
Ferrari Carano? No.
No, it's like it's either Ferrari Trento or Trento.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. It's a sparkling producer. Yes. Spanish, Cava.
No. Oh. It's Italian.
Italian, not
Trento.
Cava.
Trento. Anyways, it doesn't matter. The point is, I didn't even like. I was just like, yes, I'm going to the Emmys because
Ferrari.
It
makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, there's so many things.
See, again, dosage, triage.
It's all the same.
Sometimes I'm dumb.
So you know, I go. You know, I was sort of like, oh man, should I go to this? Should I take this invitation to go to the Emmys and make my childhood dream of going to the Emmys, even though it's not because of my own TV show,
right,
come true? Based on this like large. You know, a large corporation. They didn't ask for any press or anything.
Right, you didn't post necessarily.
I thank them for inviting me. But what was interesting, though, is like, so I'll be honest, I didn't really do much investigating on, I didn't even want to know. I was like, I'm just going to the Emmys. So I didn't really do any research on this company until I was like in the Uber to the Emmys. And, you know, Ferrari basically last year converted all their stuff to organic, like all their vineyards to organic. And what's awesome, though, is that they're giving money to the wineries around them
subsidizing them?
Yes, to convert to organic farming so that way that they're not being polluted from what's going on around them. And they're paying for it. Like they're like giving them money to like fucking do it. They're like, dude, like you're ruining our air and our water and like this is not chill. Like everyone should be on this vibe. And you know, that's great. Like that's amazing. Like that is to me, like I was like, wow, like this is actually fucking badass, you know? And like the more like natural wine is still like what, like less than 10% of the wine that's
being. I think it's less. I think it's like 1 or 2%.
No, I think realistically.
In the entire world? I think it's like 1 or 2%.
It was like 8%.
All right, let's just say
whatever. 8%. It's less than 10%. It's less than 10% of the wine produced in the world is natural. But to have huge corporations and like companies and like these huge commercial wineries like Charles Schell, like Ferrari, that are now investing in organics and investing in the land around them as well as their own, like that's fucking huge. And that's
progress.
That's progress and that's fucking awesome. And like I was like, cool, like that's fucking great. Like that makes me really happy. Like
I'm still not drinking your wine.
Actually, the wines aren't bad. The wines are good. But I definitely drank the wines. My big problem was not with Ferrari at the Emmys. My big problem was that I got charged $40 for a fucking glass of Perrier Jouet.
That's insane.
Oh, it was fucking, I was like, either people here are so fucking rich that like they must be so, like what
well,
is
everyone,
this?
I mean, it's a business expense for everybody there.
I guess, I don't know. I just like grabbed a glass because I thought it was like free.
And they charged you?
Well, they were like, miss, you have to pay for that. And I'd already taken a sip of it. So I was like, well, here's my card. you know, just fucking what, thinking maybe it was like $25. And they're like, that'll be $40. I was like, is this $40 for this one tiny little, like, what are those plastic glasswares? You know, like I'm talking
like
about
a solo cup?
Yeah, it's like not a solo cup, but the classy one.
The fancy
one.
Solo
Yeah,
cups?
The fancy solo champagne, like flutes without stems, which is so stupid, but whatever. That's a different topic for a different podcast. And I was like, $40 for this or like $40 for like the rest of this bottle of champagne that you have standing in front of me? And he's like, no, $40 for that little glass you've already drank out of. Yes, thank you. Take my money. And I was like, like my mind was fucking blown. So that was the real wine crime of the Emmys, not Ferrari. I was actually like really...
Why was Ferrari even at the Emmys? I don't
They're
understand.
The official sparkling wine of the Emmys.
Then why are they pouring champagne for $40?
There's like concession stands and stuff inside. It's a whole thing. I don't...
Ferrari, you listen, if Ferrari's listening, you guys need to renegotiate this contract. Call me. I'll help you with that negotiation. No,
yeah, I'm like, you can't... I'm like, you don't even
a
know
lot
the
of people
difference.
Don't know this, but I'm actually a...
I'm actually a lawyer on the
yeah,
side.
Yeah, contract lawyer.
Yeah. Anyways, the point is
and,
that...
notary. So if anybody needs that, you can check me out at naturalwinenotary.com.
I really actually like that. Maybe that's the name of our label that we've been trying to figure out our click. Anyways, the point is that it's really exciting to see, you know, like natural wine is having an impact. Companies are taking, advantage or, you know, they're taking notice and they're taking action to kind of start doing things better. And I think that that will prove, you know, in the long run to be better for everyone and also like not be a trend. It will show,
so
you
if,
know.
Hold on. So I'm going to use the analogy that people have been using with the hype beast or with this sort of the streetwear model. No one really says hype beast anywhere.
I know, right?
Whoever said that, it's just referred to as streetwear hype beast. It's literally a reference to a website. It's not a movement. Anyway, besides the point, do your research. so streetwear, like if you want to use streetwear as the model, Virgil Abloh became the head designer, menswear designer of Louis Vuitton and definitely started in the streetwear hype beast movement. And that's sort of definitely the birth of his fashion. He had Pyrex and Off-White and whatnot. But with that, there was a lot of, you know, a lot of the fashion world was very, I'm not in the fashion world, but I follow fashion.
I think some would argue. That you are.
Oh, I guess I am. I sell t-shirts. I forget that sometimes.
I think you also sell hats sometimes, too.
I do sell hats. I just, you know, I was really actually very excited about it. And I saw it as very profound, not only being African-American, but also being, you know, somebody who doesn't have a formal training and somebody who really, you know, worked from using this sort of this contemporary way of getting things to trend, if you will, and so I think hopefully if this is something, you know, let's refer to it as a trend, continues to see somebody potentially who is a natural winemaker helming the ship of a larger winery, I guess, is their future and the potential, which is exciting to see. Could you imagine if somebody who's like a devout natural winemaker taking over for a larger, I mean...
No, but then I don't see that happening only because then it goes back to like the philosophy and way of life of like in terms of, I don't think it's possible to be doing natural wine on like
a huge scale.
On that scale. I mean, not really, because you got to be. I just don't see how that's really possible. I also just don't think that people that are in the natural wine movement necessarily want that life. You know, like I just don't I think if it's going to be helmed by anyone, it'll be helmed by, you know, outspoken people that are. It's going to be helmed by me and you, Adam, Marissa, and Adam are going to helm this goddamn ship.
God,
and everyone's like, wait, no, like everyone listening to this is like. No, like they're drunk. Like they're definitely not gonna lead us in the right direction.
Drunk on power.
Yes, barely. I'm like, really? Is that a thing? I have yet to feel it. I just get drunk on wine and my feelings. But you know, I think that I think that most winemakers, you know, they enjoy their way of life. They do what they do to maintain a certain lifestyle, which in Europe is obviously very different than here.
Yeah.
Like domestic winemakers, you know, the targets of fame and like riches is like a very American.
Also the barrier
thing.
To entry in Europe, I feel like is smaller.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess it's just, I just, I hate seeing it being called a trend, because I just, like we've said a couple times now, I just think it's so dismissive to the winemakers and people that have been legitimately dedicated their fucking lives to this.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's just, it comes off. You can say, check out natural wine and, you know, this, I think like a safer way to bring it up and broach it for these publications might be like, check out this thing you might have missed.
But that doesn't fucking get clicks.
Yeah.
Like, think about
calling it.
Calling
it a hype, the same, the new hype
beast. Yeah. I mean, and also that's part of the problem too, is like, it's clickbait. Like, they're writing these headlines and these articles because it's like combining, you know, natural wine with something else that's very, you know, that's also very, that is trendy, you know, or was trendy or whatever. And I don't know. I don't know. We could be totally wrong about it all. And like, maybe maybe natural wine is going through a trend phase
or maybe winemakers are like, I love that it's the trend. Like, I'm happy.
I'm sure that they
do.
I think that most people are happy that more wine is being sold and consumed and that sort of thing. I don't know the language that's being used, but at the same time, like, I mean, not to like totally say fuck all to everything we just spent like an hour talking about, but it really doesn't matter if it's a trend to the people that really give a fuck.
That's true.
You know, like at the end of the day, like this could not, like I think, you know, a lot of us got into it before it was a trend. I think most of us will be into it even after it's quote unquote over.
Yeah. And you know, I,
it won't matter. Like, this won't matter. This will be, you know,
I want Brumaire. I want Raw. I want all those fairs to be packed to the gills. I want them to sell all their tickets. I want everybody in there. I want it to be hustling and bustling, and I want people, I want frenetic energy, and I want it to be exciting. And if trend is what brings those people in, fuck it then, I guess.
Yeah. But I mean, even going back to like the dude that said that I was like the Rolling Stone writer that ruins bands, you know, don't you want people to succeed?
Don't you want Bon Iver to collaborate with Kanye West?
Yeah.
Well, I know I do.
I mean, why not? Or you know,
Justin
like,
Verner.
Or why not?
I'm just saying that because just in case someone out there is like, you said Bon Iver.
I don't even know how to pronounce it. I'm, that's another one. Besides wine words, I'm like Bon Iver, Bon Iver. I don't know. I don't care. Luckily, I don't have to say that one very often. But you know, like, if you really love something, like, you know, I think, you know, there was an importer recently that hit me up and then was like, oh man, like, you got to stop posting my wines. I can't keep them in stock now. And I'm like, well, isn't that better than not being able to sell your wines? Like, I want the winemakers, the wines I promote. First of all, the wines I promote go through a pretty scrutinizing review from me before I ever post it, usually.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone's seen it. It's called a Ross test.
Yeah. thanks. Yeah. But, you know, the winemakers that I post about are people that I believe that their products are great. And even the wines that we have on the podcast, you know, these are people that we want to succeed. Like, we want, like, so it's, I don't.
I've been with you when you've had wines that you have questioned whether or not you should promote or not.
Yeah.
Because of, for whatever reason. And you do. I mean, I as someone who knows you in your personal life, as well as, I guess, in a professional way, you do scrutinize. And for what everyone, you know, it's hard to see because social media is just what you want
just
people to
Ross
see.
Just Ross tests.
No, but there is a scrutiny. There is a decision on your part.
Absolutely. I think, like, you know, for this, I'll drink seven wines and I only really, like, you know, only seven or one of them out of that seven will make it, you know, and like, and I still have to have it like again before I promote it. Like, I, you know, I'm, but, you know, I also don't want us to come off seeming like, the reason I brought up like the Rolling Stone thing again is like, you know, I was very into emo as a high schooler.
Yeah.
You know, very into Bright Eyes, and I wanted Conor Oberst all to myself. Well, I kind of gave up Dashboard as soon as he was on MTV.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, like, I was just like, yeah. But it's like, no, like, if you really love something, you want to support it. You want it to succeed. So when we're saying like natural wine isn't a trend or whatever, it's not because we don't want these people to have this success or a light shine on like their incredible work. Like, I want that. That's why I do what I do. You know, I'm not out here being like, I don't want it to be trendy because I don't want other people to have it. It's more like, you know, I want people to succeed, and I want people to succeed doing things that they love. And the winemakers that make these wines, I think, are generally doing something that they love and care about so
right.
much.
Right. I think that we're not saying that we don't want it to be a trend. We're saying that referring
it's not
to
a trend.
It, referring to it as a trend is very much a
shitty thing to do.
Yeah, it's just not a it's not a nice way of describing people's life's work. Anyway, fuck your trends.
Fuck your trends.
Just do what you like.
Do what you love.
No, that sounds
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, that sounded bad too. Basically, yo, natural wine isn't a trend. It's a lifestyle and a philosophy, and we fucking love it, and we will be here even after it's not being written about in GQ. So take that and shove it up your fucking buttholes.
Yeah, boom.
Okay, but also, too, we love you guys, and thank you so much for listening to this.
Yeah, I'm sure there's like four people that they fell asleep while listening to this, and that's
there's
the
four
people
that have already written me emails being like, fuck that last pod. Fuck you.
All right. On that note, bye.
We love you guys. Bye.